Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's call, Going Digital, Using Social Media to Expand Your Human Rights Advocacy. This call is presented as part of the web series by the ICCPR Task Force in connection with the preparation for the review happening in March as part of the U.S. compliance with the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. I'm Yolande Tomlinson, the National Education Coordinator with the U.S. Human Rights Network. And as many of you know, the network is a national network of organizations and individuals who are working to build and strengthen a people-centered human rights movement where leadership is centered on those most directly affected by human rights violations and where the full range of diversity in communities is respected and embraced. So just a couple of things before we continue with the call. The first is that the call is in lecture mode, which means that everyone except the presenters will be muted, after which we will open up the line for conversation at the end of the presentation. At that point, we'll begin to take questions. And the way to participate in that conversation is to use the raise hand feature, and you'll do that by pressing *1 on your phone, and you'll be entered into a queue. I'll recognize you, and you'll answer your question. If you've changed your mind about asking your question or after you've asked your question, you can use the pound sign to lower your hand. Another way to participate in the conversation is by using the chat feature if you are logged in online, and that's a small chat in the left-hand corner of your screen, or at least in the left-hand corner of my screen. And I'll remind you of this as we get towards the we get to the end of the call at the portion where you'll be asking questions. So our agenda for the call, I will go over briefly the National Day of Action, which is connected to this call, and this call is done as a preparation for you to be able to participate in that. Then we will have a presentation on how to use Twitter by Reka Arulantham of the ACLU, and one on Facebook by Felicia Perez of the United Workers Congress, and another on Instagram by Lalita Balakrishnan of the U.S. Human Rights Network, after which point we will open up for questions. So the first thing is that the U.S. Human Rights Network, as part of its effort to connect all of the treaty reviews that will be happening this year, as well as the review of the Universal Periodic Review, we have a year-long media campaign right now that's called Ours 365. The tagline of that is Our Time for Human Rights. This year presents a really unique opportunity, and so we wanted to design a campaign using social media to be able to connect grassroots organizing education to help build a movement for human dignity and to call for government accountability. So this webinar is in part helping folks prepare to participate in that conversation and in that year-long campaign. There are two ways you can get information on the campaign. The first is by visiting the first link here at www.ushrnetwork.wix.com /ours365, and of course by visiting our website at www.ushrnetwork.org. As part of that year-long media campaign, we have the first launch of that as part of our National Day of Action, which will take place on February 26th. The goal of the National Day of Action is to utilize the upcoming March 13th and 14th review of the ICCPR as an opportunity to connect local, regional, and national struggles for human rights, so all social justice movements. The theme of the Day of Action is a commemoration of Trayvon Martin, and that's even more so earnest in, because of the recent the recent verdict in the Michael Dunn trial, as well as the ongoing case with Marissa Alexander and numerous other folks across the country who are a victim of our current criminal system. So while the theme of it is focused on Trayvon Martin, it's worth noting that this is an inclusive day of action. So all human rights, social justice issues, we encourage you, if that's what you work on, to participate in the day of action. This is not just about racial justice, stand your ground laws, or gun violence. In particular, we're asking you to take specific actions. You can participate in this through national action. We will have a Twitter rally, which you will learn more about how to participate in that during the later portion of the call, and that will begin at 12 noon your time, which means that at each time zone, we will have 4 hours of continuous Twitter action. Please tag the network at USHRN and the State Department, as well as use all of and any of these hashtags that you see here. And this is also included in the call to action letter that went out, as well as what's available on our website. We're asking you to dedicate your Facebook cover, specifically your banner, to the campaign, and we will also circulate that banner, which is designed by one of our presenters today, Felicia Perez. And as a part of the national action as well, we're asking folks to wear orange. You may take pictures of yourself in orange, post it to Facebook, post it to our Instagram, Twitter, what have you. And as you engage in other actions, local actions, please also take pictures and share that with us. In terms of local actions, we're asking you to host an event on your issue. That could be a forum, a honk and wave, a rally, a screening and a conversation, anything to promote your social justice issue, your human rights issue. You can also take local action by sending letters to your local representative, advising them of the day of action and the importance of the ICCPR. We have a template on our website that you can download and basically, you know, insert your organization's name, your specific issue to send to your representative. And do invite them out to your local event if you do end up having one. And lastly, we're asking you to promote this event via your network, social media, as far and wide as you can. The more people we have using the human rights framework, the more we can hold folks accountable and move towards full realization of human rights. So our first presentation on social media is by Rekha Arulantham. She's a digital media associate at the American Civil Liberties Union, and her talk is entitled 10 Journalists Who Think You Should Be Tweeting Already, How to Get Started on Twitter. As the American Civil Liberties Union's digital media associate, Rekha manages the organization's digital promotional strategy, including website and social media promotion. Rekha graduated from NYU University in 2011 with a degree in international relations. When she's not at work, you can usually find Rekha walking dogs at her favorite animal shelter or ice skating at Bryant Park. Rekha?
Hi there. Thank you for the introduction. Can everyone hear me okay?
They can't respond.
I hope so. I'm not sure if I have click control of this, but I hope I do. So I had thought I wanted to do an listicle because that seems to be what people are reading these days on BuzzFeed. And I, you know, originally thought I would do 10 puppy dogs that want you to start tweeting, but I think that journalists probably fits this audience a little bit better. Yolanda, I don't know if I have click control.
Okay. I'll do that for you.
Okay. All right. So this is just an introduction to Twitter. Twitter is a platform for exchanging 140-character messages called tweets in real time. A lot of people, you know, mispronounce Twitter or tweets, and, you know, it doesn't make you look good, so try and get that one right. A handle, and these are just some terms that you'll hear in this presentation and also as you get started on Twitter. A handle is a username, so your organization might have a Twitter handle, which is what you would tweet for your official tweets. You might also have a personal handle, like mine is at Rekalish. You want to look me up on Twitter. A hashtag is a way of categorizing tweets. So if you look up the hashtag, you know, hours 20 or 365, you'll find the you'll find tweets about the you know, the campaign that the network is doing. And so a lot of people use funny hashtags like hashtag WTF or other phrases, and that's just sort of a bastardization of what hashtags are. According to Twitter, if you should use 1 to 2 hashtags in your tweets, and that makes it makes them more easily findable. So to follow someone on Twitter means that you subscribe to their account and you receive their tweets when you log on to Twitter. If someone is following you, that means that they receive your tweets. Twitter is different than email and Facebook in that you don't have to follow those who follow you. So if there's someone who you disagree with and they're following you, you won't see their tweets, so there's no need to block them or anything like that. To retweet someone is to forward their message to your followers. So if I want to, if I retweet Yolande, that means that I'm forwarding something that she said to the people who follow me. All right. So the first journalist is Glenn Greenwald, and he wants you to stop being an egg. So when you set up your account, you should definitely make sure to put your headshot or a, you know, a logo or a picture that represents you in that you know, in that profile picture field, just because a lot of people who are eggs tend to be spammers or they aren't taken as seriously. So at a minimum, you should include a photo and a short bio that describes either your organization or, you know, or if it's for your personal account, describes the things that you work on, the things that you're interested in. You have 160 characters for that bio. So Ryan Riley wants you to use Twitter to listen. So a lot of people that I've talked to about, you know, joining Twitter have told me that they don't want to get on because they don't want to be held to a, you know, I don't want to have to tweet five times a day. I don't think that you need to, like, start tweeting as soon as you get on Twitter. I think you can use it as a really useful listening device. And so I pointed out Ryan Riley because he's following, you know, almost 4,000 people. That means that, you know, in his feed, there's going to be tweets from all those 4,000 people, almost 4,000 people. So when you first set up your account, you should spend, you know, 15 minutes finding the organizations that you work with, reporters who cover the issues that you work on, government agencies, like even your enemies, because knowing what they're saying can be useful too. And so you can build, building that following list will make your feed more comprehensive, and it'll give you a lot more to respond to or retweet. And it'll also, like, it helps you if you're brand new to Twitter, it helps you understand how, you know, tweets are phrased, where to put the hashtags. I think you should just, you know, if you're just getting started, just spend some time looking and reading. I'm not going to go over this today, but another way to, you know, if you're following 4,000 people, it's going to be sort of hard to read your feed, but you can create lists. And there are plenty of articles on the internet about how to create lists to categorize people, to categorize the people that you follow. You could make, like, for example, a human rights reporters list and separate that from a list of, you know, New York City living tweeters. That way you can make, like, you can use Twitter in a way that's the most useful to you. Another way to listen is to search for hashtags. So this is the screen that's up right now. This is just the, if you just go to the search bar on Twitter and type in the hashtag, you know, Hours365 or Justice for Trayvon or, you know, ICCPR, like anything like that, it'll come up with the list of tweets that are that are part of that category. And then next slide. Eli Lake wants you to use links and hashtags in your tweets. So like I said, 1 to 2, you know, hashtags per tweet. If you have too many hashtags, it can sort of look messy, but this one, you know, the tweet that you see in front of you is okay. So you only get 140 characters in your message. So it's really important to use links where you can, because that gives people a way to look at, you know, look for more information. So if you're talking about, you know, something related to Trayvon, link to a blog post about him, link to, you know, your website, that sort of thing. So links take up to, like, about 20 characters, and Twitter automatically shortens them for you, so you don't have to, you know, you can paste the URL in, but do, you know, plan for it to take up those 20 characters. One of the worst things that you can do is follow a headline link format. So when you're writing tweets, try and vary it. So Erin wants you to schedule tweets using a Twitter client. So this is a screenshot of a tool called TweetDeck. And if you haven't heard of it, I definitely think you should look it up or look up Hootsuite. These are really good tools for managing tweets. And one thing that they allow you to do is to schedule tweets. So I know a lot of you are strapped for resources and you're not going to spend all day on Twitter, but one thing that you can do is you can start your morning by scheduling a bunch of tweets for throughout the day and then letting them roll out. That's one use for TweetDeck. Another use is that you can create these columns, and so it makes it a little bit easier to track hashtags, and we could talk about a little bit more about that another time, since I want to keep this presentation short. So Greg Sargent wants you to retweet. So according to Twitter, the best way to start tweeting is to reply. So if you follow a bunch of accounts and respond to what others are tweeting and retweet what they're tweeting, then that's probably the easiest way to get started. You don't need to like think about how you're going to message things if you're just looking at what other people do and responding as you need to. So and this is a really interesting retweet because I'm back on the last slide. Thank you. This is a really interesting retweet because he put his own like opinion in the right before the retweet. So the two ways to retweet are to use the retweet button or to just copy and paste the tweet with RT and then the handle. As you can see in this one, he has done that second method, and he's added his own opinion. Adding your own opinion is really, really good because it shows that you're interacting with it. You're interacting with what people are saying. Ayana Segura wants you to interact with others. This is a little bit of what I was talking about just now. So one of the best ways to show a reporter or another influential celebrity or something, to show them that you're on Twitter and that you're worth following, is to just respond to them. So if you use their handle, if they tweet something, just hit the reply button and say something. If you if you've put out some cool new blog post on Trayvon Martin, then maybe tag a reporter that you think would be interested in it. And by tag, I mean you just put their handle in the tweet. So Twitter chats and Twitter storms, these are some advocacy tools. One thing that I added a little bit after this was live tweeting. So a Twitter chat is a question and answer session. So Carol Rosenberg did a Twitter chat, which is what she's talking about in this tweet. And she did it with Ryan Riley and Charlie Savage. And like during that, during this Twitter chat, you can ask questions and you answer questions, but it's less about getting the hashtag to trend and more about responding to people's requests for information. A Twitter storm is when you want something to trend. You want people to you want people's attention on the subject that you're talking about. And so so everyone uses the same hashtag and tweets, their talking points all at the same time. Live tweeting is one of the best ways to actually grow your Twitter following. According to Twitter, I think for journalists, they can double their their following by live tweeting events regularly. Some advice if you do live tweet is to make sure that you tweet your perspective, not just the summary of the events. And at a maximum, you should tweet every 2 minutes. If you tweet, even if you tweet 5 or 6 relevant points, that's fine. Just try not to tweet too often or people will get some, they'll have Twitter fatigue. So another really, really easy way to start tweeting is to use the Twitter share buttons on websites. So almost every news website, you'll see a little, a Facebook and a tweet button so that you can share on social media. If you click on that button, it'll pop up with a tweet. Usually the tweet text is the title of the article and the link, and it's always a good idea to change that. Just like I said, headline, link, headline, link, headline, link is not a good way to tweet. You really want to show that you read the article and pull out the interesting points from it. So use a quotation from the article, find a shocking statistic, or write a short summary that makes people really want to click on it. So Chris Geidner does this interesting thing where he, right before he goes to bed, he writes a tweet. And so it sort of shows what his schedule is, and it shows that he's on Twitter at night. I brought this up because I think that for a lot of people who are new to Twitter, it's hard to, it's a new website that you have to go to, that you have to log into, and it's sort of no one wants to add that step into their process, but I think that it's worth it if you, if you work Twitter into your routine, if you read articles in the morning or before you go to bed, then just add Twitter to that. Check Twitter and find the articles on Twitter before you pull up those websites that you look at. If you're following the news sources that you read online, Twitter might become a more streamlined way for you to check the news. So Elise Foley thinks this is an awesome way to show that you are an issue expert. I know I've actually heard from a few people at the ACLU that they, before they applied for their jobs at the ACLU, they checked out their, who would be their colleagues. And so This is a personal branding thing. You need to reporters, job applicants, coalition partners, the public, they look to Twitter to see if you are legit, to see if you know what you're talking about, and to see that you're an active member of what you say you're an active member of. So if you, this is how you show everyone that you're out there, that you're doing the work, and that you're making progress on the issues that they care about. And this is just a quick summary of a lot of the points I said, because, you know, maybe some of you don't like the list form, but this is a quick list of a bunch of tips, which I'm not going to go over. But I will highlight the last one, which is look at the hashtag hours365 and look at USHNR, the handle, for more information on the day of action.
Thank you so much, Rekha. Felicia and Lalita, do you want to add anything to folks being able to use Twitter to promote their advocacy?
No, I think we'll wait till the end.
Okay. So our next segment will be nine organizations or people who think you should like them already, how to get started on Facebook. This portion is presented by Felicia Perez. Felicia is currently the United Workers Congress Membership Support and Social Media Coordinator, an associate trainer with the Center for Story-Based Strategy, an operator of Reno Space Creators, developers of museum exhibits, and web-based graphic design solutions. She is also a published author of History's Mysteries, Solve the Crime of Time, and Interact. Felicia?
All right. So I really want to thank Rekha for walking us through Twitter and all the different things that you can do with it. I followed much of her format for this portion on Facebook and how to use it. So if things start to seem a little similar, that's a good thing. We want to make sure that you see how things are the same in terms of its usefulness, in terms of its ease of use, and also in terms of how they can be linked, not in terms of using the same, you know, post or tweet together, but in a way that you can use both Twitter and Facebook in different ways, but for the same overall purpose. So go ahead and go on to the next slide. Just in a very general way, Facebook is a service that lets you connect with other individuals or other organizations, and you might share similar interests with them, or you might not. It actually might be that you want to connect or follow or find out with folks who might have completely opposite interests of you, just to so you know what they're posting, what they're talking about, what they're trying to get their base mobilized around. And there are some key things that come up when you start to use Facebook in terms of words that you might see, in terms of vocabulary and terminology that people use. So there's status. These are status updates, or sometimes they're called posts. There's liking something. There's commenting on different status updates or posts that people put on Facebook. And then there's sharing. So those are the four key things that you'll see come up when you have a Facebook individual page or a networking page for a cause or an organization. One other thing with Facebook that's slightly different than Twitter is that there's no limit in the length in terms of your post or your status update that you share. Only the first 3 to 4 lines will actually show up, and then once folks click on it, the larger full length of what you have written will show up, but there is no limit to it, period. And we're going to suggest that folks post or put a status update 2 times a day. You could go as often as 3, but to not go that often means that you might get lost in the shuffle of the news feed that others might have on their Facebook. So they might not see what you're posting unless you post often enough. But if you are going to be posting 2 to 3 times a day, make sure that there is some space in between when you post. You don't want to post a status update or an article or a video, and then 2 minutes later also post a different status or article or sharing of somebody else's post, because then it also could get lost. So this particular slide, 0, before anything happens, is that we're also going to be advocating that if you individually have a Facebook page and you want to have a Facebook account that is for your organization or for a particular cause that you want to be behind or want to advocate for, that you have a separate account for Facebook. It'll all be on one thing, in that you need to have your own Facebook individual account before you can add pages or add additional accounts. But we're advocating today that if you're going to be posting things on behalf of an organization that you are the representative of or a cause that you're trying to advocate, that you separate that from your individual Facebook page. So to do that, these particular pictures here sort of show you how when you sign up, right below sign up, there is a part or portion that says create a page for a celebrity, a band, a business. And when that happens, then there are different Facebook sub-accounts that you can create. You can create one for a business. You can create one for a cause, which is the bottom right-hand one that has these sort of, you know, picket signs. And then there's also one that you can make for your organization, which is the second one on the top when it drops down and you indicate the type of organization that it is. Okay, next. And here are just some screenshots of things that you'll see if you set up a sample organization. And so on Facebook, when you sign up on Facebook and you don't put up a picture or a logo, say, for yourself, you have this sort of silhouette bust picture that's gendered based on what you identified as, according to Facebook. When you create a page without putting a logo or a picture up, it's a little flag. So the little flag there is to indicate that, you know, we would suggest that you put up a picture, that you put up a logo, keeping in mind that that profile picture that would replace the flag also has a lot of potential in terms of you switching it out for a given cause, for a given day, for a given hour. And we're going to talk about that another picture above that, the cover page, and how we're going to suggest that you use that for the 26th. Next slide. All right. So once you have created your personal Facebook page and then you've created a different page for your organization or for your political or different cause, then you have to make sure that you are posting on behalf of the right Facebook account. So here's an example of my personal Facebook page, but I actually manage 5 different pages as well. So I have to make sure that when I post, if I wanted to post, say, on behalf of United Workers Congress, that I'm not posting on my own Facebook account. So there's a drop box that comes down when you click on this sort of wheel icon up at the top right-hand corner, and then all of your pages will sort of pop up there, and you click on it to be able to manage the one that you have. Next slide. So this one here, it's a sample company really wants you to help them buy flags. No. So, again, make sure that once you have up your different page on Facebook that you, you know, change that profile picture. Behind it is a cover page that you could also add as well. That is up to you whether or not you want to go to that other level and add even more pictures, but they are interchangeable, and you can update and change them to your liking. United Workers Congress wants you to like them. So one of the key parts to Facebook is that in order for you to know what other individuals or other organizations are saying, posting, talking about on Facebook, you have to like other individuals and other organizations in order for them to show up in your newsfeed. So much like on Twitter, as soon as you start things off and you're ready to go, you have to go up to your search window up at the top and start typing in individual names or organizational names, and then you'll see the picture of those pages come up, and you can either like their pages or you could just follow their pages. Either way, you'll be able to get that individual or organization's posts or status updates in your newsfeed, and much like Twitter, get into the habit of in the morning or in that time that you sort of check in with the world and the news, that you what we call sort of Facebook trolling, that you take a look at what everybody's Facebook status posts are. And at that time, then, you can determine whether or not you even like their posts. And when you like somebody's post or status update, then that also shows up in your newsfeed as an activity that Facebook wants others to know about. So Amy Goodman wants you to make a testimonial sign and share your photo or video. So sometimes what folks do on Facebook is they want you to do what's sort of like a new and creative way of having an online petition that includes photos and has more in-depth testimonial and a personal touch to things. So you can use Facebook to ask folks to sign a petition. You would have a link to an online petition, which you could also have them interact and sort of get a little bit more personal with a petition of having the picture associated with the sign. We may also be advocating for the 26th that something like this be done. There was earlier conversation at the beginning of the call about wearing orange. So this might be something, too, where you take a picture of yourself, group of folks, all wearing orange, holding up a sign, all probably saying the same sort of, you know, message, and then be posting that and then asking folks to also participate in that way as well. 4, Lope is not okay, wants you to read more information, but get the nuts first. So I think I was supposed to say, but get the nuts and bolts first. But anyway, what we have here is Lope is not okay. Their particular Facebook is not only wanting you to link on to this particular article that they have, but oftentimes, because Facebook is so visual and has so many different things, once you like several different people and organizations, that sometimes just beyond the article is needed, and we can create photos that then have the basic bullet points that come out in that article, and it's just an additional way to sort of get a very short and sweet first bullet of what is in the article that then allows folks to get that sort of, you know, hook in for the interest of going deeper into the article as well. Sunflower Community Action wants you to attend their event. On Facebook, you can also post events and create an event itself that's sort of a sub-window and a sub-page within your Facebook. And this allows you to invite folks and organizations directly through Facebook. It allows you to also quantify, you know, how many folks are attending, add a map, add videos, add other things that are maybe going to get people excited and interested about attending your event. So instead of sending out a whole separate, invite to a particular event, Facebook also allows you to do that completely within the account itself. So Rock United wants you to share their status posts. So there are a couple of things that you'll see as you go to people's organizational Facebook page, or it'll also come out in your feed, in that when somebody's status or post is there, you'll see on the bottom a like, a comment, and share. You can click on liking their post, and what that'll do is it'll show up in the news feed that you like that particular individual or organizational post. That'll show up as something that you're doing. It also allows to help promote that organization or individual to post or cause or whatever it is that they would like to share. You can comment on it. It will also show up as an activity that you are participating in, or you could share directly. And just it's like a copy and paste of the, not the topic at the top, but the actual thing, whether this in particular case is a video or it could be an article, that then gets shared directly on your Facebook page. And the other part that circled to the right that has sort of a page and then the number 2 indicates how many people have done that, how many people have shared that exact post. And when you click on it, you can also then find out the name of the individual or the organization that chose to share it. Rock United also wants you to use this photo and make it your profile pic just for the day. So just last week, right before Valentine's Day, taking advantage of February 2, the 13th, and the campaign to raise the minimum wage for tipped workers from just $2.13, there was a campaign to basically take your Facebook profile picture and just change it just for that day to be like this particular picture right here. And that allows other individuals and organizations and you to sort of see in the news feed how many people are doing that. Anytime you change your profile picture or you change your cover picture, it comes up as an activity. So it shows up in a news feed. So just the mere act of changing your picture is going to come up as something that has happened and will be noted on your individual page. and is able to then have sort of an echoing effect on a particular cause or for a particular individual's information. We have the National Guest Workers Alliance wants you to share their article. When you are reading any articles, whether they're news articles or people's blogs, at the end, there'll be the ability for you to either tweet it or to put it directly on your Facebook. And I just wanted to make sure that people who had maybe seen that and not known exactly how that's linked up or how that works is there. When you have a Facebook account and then you also have individual page accounts, what will happen is when you click on Facebook, it'll ask you, where do you want to post this on Facebook? Your individual Facebook account, and it'll also allow you to choose any of the other pages or other Facebook individual accounts that you might manage as well. A new faculty majority wants to make sure you are looking at the most recent posts. So once you have gone through and selected the individuals and the organizations that you want to follow, you want to get the information about what they're posting. As Rekha mentioned, you don't want to only pick individuals and organizations that are like-minded. You also want to get, you know, other folks that might be in contradiction to the things that you do and don't like or that are similar to your causes, in which case you really want to make sure that at the top, when you look at your news feed, you're not just looking at the top stories, which are the ones that are getting the most likes, the most shares, the most comments, the most sort of traction, but that you're also looking at the most recent ones so that you can see on a very up-to-date basis what's new on the posts and status of your different news feed folks. So much like what you saw before with the Twitter piece, in summary, make sure that you have an individual Facebook account before you create an additional one or an organizational page. We also, again, make sure that you have more than one so that you can have your individual one and then also be able to play with other sort of organizations and people within Facebook for other purposes. Make sure that you have a photo or a logo, a bio, and a website. If your organization has a website that you can link that to, that's also incredibly helpful. Follow other Facebook individuals and organizations. You can use the exact same ones from the organizations and folks that you followed on Twitter account because what you tweet and what you post on Facebook is going to be different. So you want to, you know, see how that's different for other individuals and organizations as well. Make sure that you're looking for relevant stories on Facebook, things that you want to share, things that you want to respond to, things that you see are sort of, you know, like an ongoing conversation that's starting to emerge, a wave of causes or conversations that people are having and where you fit into that. Share posts that align with your mission or your beliefs or things that you want to advocate for. Schedule a limited number of posts per day. You don't want to be posting all the time different updates. That's what Twitter is for. But you also don't want to have so limited your status and posts that folks just sort of lose you because you're not coming up regularly with posts and sharing of status updates. Mix up what you post. You can share videos and different sort of graphics that break down information in a really simple, easy to sort of see and understand way, articles or any just sort of like news about yourself or your organization. So don't always post videos. Don't always post articles. Mix it up. Change your profile picture and your cover picture for different causes or for different sort of days and events. And ask people to do something. The best thing to really make sure that whatever you're posting comes up multiple times on its own without you having to post over and over again something is to ask people to do something in your post. So if you say, share this article, like and comment on this particular video, asking people to do something and interact with your Facebook statuses kind of allows other folks and other organizations to do the work for you or to help you actually promote the different things that you're trying to get out there. If you have a public event, make sure that you post about it. Make sure that Facebook is in your regular sort of news, morning, end of the day routine. And then we're going to talk a little bit more as we move on about the different ways that you can incorporate the actions and activities on the 26th within your Facebook page or organizational page.
Thank you so much, Felicia. Our next presentation is on Instagram. It's Instagram 101, How to Get Started. and that's being presented by Lalita Balakrishnan. Lalita is the one on the right, and that's her aunt on the left. Lalita is a new media intern at the U.S. Human Rights Network and a senior at Georgia State University, where she's completing a dual degree in psychology and exercise science. She's a professional drummer by training, and her interest and work in social media includes helping social figures and organizations increase their internet presence and reach. Lali?
Hello. Hope everybody's having a good day and enjoying the weather, because I know I am. Well, I'll start by just telling you what Instagram is. It's a way for you on the go, in the field, to post real-time pictures of where you are and what you're doing. Instagram has the capability of video sharing as well. You can take close to a 30-second video. It can be at one stretch. It can also be in multiple clips. And you can post that to your profile, which I will eventually get to on this presentation. Another thing is that you can use Instagram in conjunction with social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter. Some keywords that will come up, some of them you've already heard from the previous presentations, like tag and hashtag. Some new ones will be direct message, filter, crop, and videogram. Filters are different shadows and photo editing things that you can do on this application to make your picture look a certain way if you so desire. Direct messaging can be used for sending pictures to one person or one organization if you don't feel like sending it to your entire following. Cropping I'll cover later, but videogram is basically what I was describing before. It's a short video that you can post to your followers, or you can also direct message that. All right, so steps to getting on Instagram. Because this is a mobile application, it's actually you need to have a data-enabled phone to use this. There is not much capability in this application for you to be sitting at a computer, which is nice because then you can be outside. You can have an Android or you can have an iPhone. It works on both. You'll just need to go to the App Store and type in Instagram and download the application. And it's pretty user-friendly, but as you can see on the screenshot here, the first screen when you open up the application is going to give you a sign-up or a login screen. So more than likely, you would need to sign up. And if you do, then the next screenshot is what you'll see. If you're an organization, put your organization email. If it's a personal account, then you can choose to do whatever you like. The only thing that I would suggest in Instagram and also on Twitter and Facebook or whatever social media you choose to get on, you want to make sure that your username is consistent across the board. For example, the U.S. Human Rights Network would probably not want to have a username like Human Rights. You would want to have it as U.S. Human Rights Network or U.S. HR Network or something that people will be able to easily find. And if it's your personal account, then you can make it whatever you like. For example, my username is LALTAAL, which I use on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and other things. Also, for an organization, you want to make sure that the login information is restricted and limited to the people who you know will represent your organization as you see fit. I wouldn't recommend giving the login information to everyone. You want to regulate the people who are posting as your organization. And again, it's different. If it's your personal one, you can choose to give that information to whoever you like. Oh, and just quickly, once you go back to Instagram after you have created your account, it will give you the third screenshot, which is just your login. So you're going to put in your username, which you established, and your password. Once you download the application and get in and sign up, you're going to have the option to link accounts. So as Felicia and Rekha were saying, you want to make sure that the things that you post on Facebook and Twitter are not exactly the same, because then you're going to lose followers. However, Instagram is a great way for you to supplement both of those. So if you are out in the field and you want people on Facebook who may not follow you on Twitter to see a picture, this is an easy way for you to take a picture and share it amongst many social media platforms at the same time without having to individually go to those and post them there. If you look at the screenshot, you can see at the very bottom there's a home, and then there's a star, and there's a camera, and a little heart. And the last one is where your profile is going to be. This is where you can tweak all of your personal options. You can, like I said, link different accounts that you have, and unlink them. And you can also tweak your security settings here. Like Rekha and Felicia said, you want to follow people. You want to know what they're doing. The more you follow, the more you know. So you want to make sure that you're getting information as well as giving it out to your following. And more than likely, once you start following people, they're going to either follow you back, or other people around that circuit are going to see that you've followed this person, so perhaps they'll be intrigued to come and follow you. Like I was saying before, in that same option screen, you have the capability of making your photos private. So if this is your personal account and you don't want pictures of your dog and family to reach the world, you can prevent that. But if you're an organization and you want to increase the number of people that you reach, you can turn off this setting and have your photos reach everyone that follows you, and perhaps more, because there is a way in Instagram to share the link of a photo. Also, if this capability is turned off and you do a quick Google search for an event, like say the hashtag Hours365, and for example, if the U.S. Human Rights Network has posted a picture with that hashtag on Instagram, it will come up in a Google search, as long as this privacy setting is turned off. If it's on, then it won't. These are just more customizations that you have access to. You can put as much or as little information in here as you like. It's totally up to you. I would suggest as an organization that you put enough for people to recognize that this is a legitimate account. Instagram, unfortunately, doesn't have the same little indicator as Twitter. I know on Twitter it has this little blue check mark that you know that it's a legitimate account. Instagram does not, but for the most part you can tell by the number of followers and the type of posts. Badges are a really cool thing. They're really great. In the previous presentations on those news pages, there were little icons for Twitter and for Facebook. And from time to time you will see them for Instagram. All of those things are called badges. They're going to take you directly to a page of that social media platform that you choose. So in this case, if you're an activist and you have a blog or a website and you want to have easy access for your followers to get to your Instagram, you can create a badge and put this icon on your blog, and it's an easy way for them to connect connect your social media presence. This is what a news feed is going to look like. The screenshot a couple slides ago had a little home button. This is what you're going to see when you press that home button. It is all the updates and posts from people that you follow. So say that you follow 10 people. When those 10 people start posting pictures, that's what's going to show up here. Unlike Facebook, it doesn't have a most popular or most recent. They just come up in chronological order. It's easy to miss a lot of posts, especially if you're following a lot of people. So this is a good app to check more often than not, just to see updates. Also, when you're posting pictures on your newsfeed, you have the capability of posting a picture with text underneath. You don't have to. If you feel that your picture says 1,000 words, then you don't need to post 1,001. Or if you feel like it, you can. It's easy to write too much. So I think you can apply the same number of hashtags, like Rika was saying. You can probably put 2 hashtags and you'll be okay. And if you feel like a little blurb is necessary, then why not? This is what an Instagram profile looks like. So if you are an individual or an organization and you go to look at your own profile, this is what you're going to see. Or if a follower wants to see what you're doing, this is where they're going to come, and this is what they will see. Starting from the left, this is your profile picture is the little box. It's like a thumbnail picture, which you would like to have your face or something that represents your organization. The big collage of pictures across the top is going to be a collage of your posted pictures, which Instagram does for you. Again, your username, like I said, you want to have it be something that is easily recognizable and represents you. The little green button down there that says following will tell you if you are following that person or not. You will see that button not when you look at your own profile, but when you look at someone else's. And you can choose to follow that organization or person if you click on it. Depending on security settings, it may take the other person's approval for you to start following them. And if they haven't set it that way, you can immediately see what they've posted and what they're up to. On the right side, there's some little numbers and stats. The first one is the number of posts that this person has posted. The second one is how many people that follow them. And the third one is how many people they follow. All right. Instagram is actually one of my favorite applications to use because it allows you to, as Twitter and Facebook are slightly text-heavy, Instagram is a great way for you to show your activism or get a point across without having to type. If you're a more visual person and you see little details or see something cool, this is an easy way for you to share that across platforms. It's pretty user-friendly, so not too complicated, and the picture quality is pretty good. Again, you don't want to overpost, for sure. You don't want to be posting pictures every 30 seconds because that will get annoying. But at the same time, you don't have to be scared of posting a lot of pictures. Some of the people that I follow, on average per day, they may post 4 or 5 pictures, which is great. Somebody follows you because they want to know what you're doing. So if you're an interesting person, which I'm sure all of you are, you will have things to post. So don't be scared of posting too much, but posting too little, if you do 1 post a day, it may get lost. You also want your pictures to be relevant to your audience, especially if you're an organization. You don't want to post something that's, completely unrelated without an explanation. I wouldn't post a picture of a highlighter and without an explanation. Perhaps it's relevant, but you need to communicate that to your followers. Otherwise, you can suffer from something we call follower attrition. You're just going to start losing followers because they're not interested anymore. Something I was talking about at the beginning, which is a new feature of Instagram, is Instagram videos. This is very cool. You can make little artsy videos of 30 seconds to show people what you're doing. For example, on the 26th, if you're doing an event, say a local event, and you want to make a video to convey the point of what you're doing or, the take-home messages of your event, if you will, you can take little segments and combine them into one video and post that. Okay, so this is just going into a little bit of the details of how you actually take a picture and post it. There are 3 screenshots here. So the first one is going to be the screen you see when you're taking a picture, the middle button with the blue camera. It's a point-and-shoot system. You're going to point and click that button, and it's going to capture whatever is on the screen. In that same screenshot, to the left, is a little box with what looks like a picture already that gives you the capability to go into your phone memory and choose a picture that you've already taken, which may not have been taken in Instagram. For example, if you take your phone camera, which the program comes with your phone, take a picture, and you feel like sharing it on Instagram, you can. You'll just have to go into that and browse through your gallery. Again, in that same screenshot to the right, you see a little video camera. That's your video capability, and we'll move on to the next screenshot. This is what you're going to see when you're taking a video. And if you can see, the little blue line is broken up into 3 segments. That's what I was talking about. When you press this red button, it's going to take video until you let go. So if you let go before this entire bar is filled up, it will make segments for you. Up at the top of that, you're going to see a button that says next, which will take you to the 3rd screenshot. And these are what I was talking about, which are called filters. There are different color combinations and effects that you can apply to your photo or video for them to look a certain way. There are some that will make your video or photo look like vintage or like a Polaroid, or they're cool little things that you can play around with. And then once you're done editing that, you can click next, and it will take you to a screen that I'll show you in a second. This is important, especially if you're using a photo that has been previously taken. Instagram has specifications on the photos that it posts. So if you take a picture on your phone camera, it may require you to crop that picture and regulate it to what Instagram likes. So, for example, in this screenshot, half of that rock or crab or whatever it is getting cut off. So you can move it. You can move that box to the right, but you're still going to lose some on the left. So you just want to be cognizant of what you're posting or what you're taking pictures of and what's going to be able to be posted. Okay, So once all your editing is done, you're going to end up here. This is a great little screen because you can add your caption in the space that it says, a beautiful summer morning in San Francisco, to say whatever you like. Here's where you're going to add your hashtags. Underneath that, you can choose to have a photo map. So if you're an organization and you travel around the world doing events, you can have Instagram log for you wherever you have been. Underneath that, you have your Facebook, Twitter, email, Tumblr, and Flickr. The last two, Tumblr and Flickr, are also microblogging social media programs, but they require more computer access, and they're better for if you're in front of a computer. And so if you highlight Facebook and Twitter, this picture will be shared across your platforms. The take-home messages, basically everything I just said. And most of all, these social media platforms are for you to use, obviously, but you should have fun with them. You know, you don't have to be super careful. I mean, you should be careful. That's wrong. But you should have fun also. Take pictures of things that you think your followers will like and test it out. They may not like it, and through that you'll learn what you should be posting, and you can figure out what posts get the most replies and the most traffic. So, yeah, that's Instagram.
Thank you so much, Lalita. And I see that we are a bit over time, so just out of respect for other people's time, what I will do is put up the final slide of a couple reminders. And things to take away in terms of participating in the year-long campaign and the Day of Action. Specifically, if you are interested in participating in the campaign and want us to know what you're doing, want more information about it, reach out to our ICSBR coordinator, Kara Lewis, and it's kara@ushrnetwork.org. And look to our site, both our network site at www.ushrnetwork.org, or visit us at www.ushrnetwork.wix.com/hours365 to get more information specifically on the year-long campaign, but the activities we'll engage in as we move throughout the year. And, of course, visit us on Facebook and Twitter. I see that this program has blocked our accounts, but we're easily found on either platform with its own link, as well as the USHR at the extension. I see that most people are still online, so if you want to participate in the Q&A, which we'll do for about 10 minutes, we welcome you to do that. I have several questions that came in via the chat. So please, if you have the time and would like to get questions from our expert presenters, now is the time to do that. The way you will participate in the conversation is by using the *1 on your phone. That will enter you into a queue, and I'll recognize you to ask your question. We're going to start with the ones that came in while the presentation was going on, and the first of which is wanting to know if you can use the, if you have the same options on the Facebook application, mobile application, as you do online. Felicia?
Right. This is Felicia. In answer to that question, it's a little bit complicated. When you actually have separate pages, not necessarily a separate account. So if I have Felicia Perez, my individual Facebook account, but I also have Felicia United Workers Congress, those would be two different completely individual profiles that I can easily manipulate and access on my mobile device. But when you have an organizational or campaign page, you can't interact with it the same sort of way. You're able to go to that page, but your ability to post things is a little bit different. There's an app called Pages Manager, and that allows you to manage all of your different pages, to be able to post on behalf of them, to add photos. You could take a photo directly from your cell phone and be able to tweet that and also add that to your Facebook page. But it does require a different app to download to really be able to manipulate and use and have access to all the different pieces of a Facebook page. For Droids, Again, it's called Pages Manager, and I believe it's the exact same app for a Mac product.
Awesome. Thank you. Our next question is about what operating systems are required for these platforms.
Hey, it's Rika. I think for all of these platforms, you can use, obviously for Instagram, you'll need a smartphone, but for Facebook and for Twitter, you can use on any web browser, any operating system.
Awesome. Thank you. And our final question via the chat is, someone says, I created a Facebook page for my organization, but not inside of my profile. Can I create other pages inside of my profile and merge with the page that I already have? That way not to lose all the posts that I have in their page. So the question is, can you merge pages without losing what you had on the existing page?
Is this question for Facebook? Or
It's specifically for Facebook.
Please, yeah, do you want?
Go ahead. I'm assuming that's Rachel.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I haven't merged a Facebook page in a while, but you can. I think you're asking if you can merge a page and a person account. I think you can do that. You could probably Google. I think they have some instructions on Facebook on how to do it. It's much easier to merge a page with another page if that is something that's happening. But I know that you are. You might. There is a chance that you will lose posts. I think, especially if you are merging a page with a personal account. I think that it'll probably keep the data that's on the page, not what's on your personal account. If you're merging two pages, it'll keep the data that's associated with the page with more likes.
Thank you. And again, if you want to ask a question directly for our presenters, use star 1 on your phone, and you'll be recognized for the question. I have a question specifically for you, Rika, regarding Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say a little bit about how people should use the what's the protocol for tagging someone and using a hashtag? So, for example, one thing that was raised by one of our members is not to begin a tweet with at someone's handle, because that will only limit the tweet to their audience, versus if you want to do something to a wider audience, you would either begin with a period and then the handle, or embed the handle at some other point in the text.
Right. That's it's a technical rule, and that's why I didn't go over it, but that's right. So if you start a tweet with a handle, so if you start it with at ACLU, for example, then it functions as a reply, which means and a reply is only seen by accounts that follow both you and the account that you're tweeting at. So if ACLU is tweeting at Yolande and we tweet at Yolande, if that's her handle, then that tweet will only be seen, if we start it with her handle, it'll only be seen by people who follow both the ACLU and Yolande. So what we want to do is start it with a period. So if I start that that tweet to Yolande with the period, so period at Yolande, then that'll be seen by everyone who follows me. In terms of where to place handles and hashtags, there is no there is no sort of rule to it. If you're going to do a retweet, you typically put the the handle before the copied and pasted tweet. But you can put hashtags. You can either choose to embed the hashtags in the actual text that you are, I want hashtag justice for Trayvon, for example, or you can, put that hashtag at the end of whatever you're saying.
Thank you very much. And this is for Felicia. Felicia, can you merge more than, and I guess also you too, Rika, can you merge more than two accounts?
Oh,
yes. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can, as far as I know, it's almost an endless amount of accounts that you can merge and put together. As I showed in my first sample where I was showing a particular screenshot of my own Facebook page. I manage 5 different pages plus my own account. So there's, you know, a long number of ways that you can merge the different accounts and be able to manage them. I will say, though, that once you get up to the number 4, it gets a little bit complicated in terms of being able to see all of your pages at once. It's sort of a frustrating experience that I'm having as of late with Facebook. There are times when I don't see one of the pages that I know I manage, and I just have to, you know, log into one, log out, and then I'll start to see all of them again. So once you get to 4, you're going to have maybe some slight glitches in being able to see all of them, but you can definitely add and merge more than 2.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you all very much. We don't have any further questions from our participants. So I just wanted to keep up these reminders for folks to be able to find ways to interact with us in the Day of Action and to look out for email reminders about how you can participate, as well as a list of hashtags as well as handles for different state and government agencies who are connected to the issues that you're concerned about, to be able to tag them in your tweets during the Day of Action. And also look out for the banner that Felicia designed that we're asking you to dedicate as your Facebook cover. We're asking you to keep it up as long as you would like, but definitely on the 26th. Thank you each for a wonderful presentation. There were a couple questions about whether or not this will be available. The full audio and PowerPoint presentation will be available via email as well as on our website. So thank you all, and hope you have a great day. And as always, if you're not already a member of the U.S. Human Rights Network, we invite you to join us.